For today's GeoQuiz, we're looking for a long-lost kingdom. No, it's not El Dorado we're looking for. The mythical city of gold was supposedly somewhere in the Western Hemisphere. The lost kingdom we want you to name is a real place halfway around the world in the Himalayan mountains. About 1,000 years ago, the Buddhists there broke away from the Tibetan Empire and established their own domain. Today, it's located in the very north of India, in the state of Jammu and Kashmir. The spectacular setting up in the Himalayas does come with a significant drawback. This kingdom is basically cut off from the rest of the world, except for a couple of months each year. That's when the river that links them to the rest of India freezes over, allowing people to trek on it. But global warming is now threatening this ice road and a way of life. So can you name the remote kingdom in northern India? It's a tough one, I know. I didn't know this place. But not to worry, the answer is coming up later in the program. So, a remote kingdom in India's Himalayan region is the focus of our GeoQuiz today. This is a place that's mostly cut off from the rest of the world, except for a couple of months each year when a river freezes over and becomes an ice road for residents. The answer is Zanskar, Z-A-N-S-K-A-R, the name of both kingdom and river. Freelance reporter Daniel Grushkin traveled on that ice road 5 years ago and got to know the river quite well when the ice broke under his feet. He's now written about the experience on the blog Roads and Kingdoms. Grushkin interviewed locals in Zanskar, and they told him the winter ice road doesn't last as long as it used to. Climate change has reduced temperatures in the Himalayas, and that's shortened the time the ice on the river stays frozen.
So it used to be several months. Now it's just early to mid-January to mid-February. And the ice just gets thinner and thinner and more dangerous because of it.
So tell me about how complicated that is to find a place in the river to basically fjord if you don't really know if the ice is going to break or not.
So the way that you travel on the ice is you carry a stick with you. And before every step you take, you sound the ice with the stick. And if it sounds hollow or, you know, the stick actually goes in, you know that's not the place to go. If, in fact, you can't pass, which happened to us on several occasions, you're in a canyon. So what you start doing is climbing up the canyon walls and trying to get over the section without the ice, which can be pretty treacherous.
Right. So now take us to that nail-biting moment where you fell in the river, as you describe on Roads and Kingdoms. I mean, it sounded terrifying.
Well, we got to a point in the river called Woma, which is sort of an infamous pass. The saying goes that if Woma's not frozen, the only way to pass is with wings. And so it was frozen when we went there. At least a small section along the canyon wall was frozen. And as I took my first steps along that canyon wall, the small bridge, the little ice block that I was standing on, literally separated from the canyon wall. And there I was, chest deep in water and swimming in basically ice water.
I mean, you describe it this way. You write, the first thing you feel when you fall through a frozen river is frustration. Next, panic when the water soaks through your parka and your fleece layers begin to freeze. Did you think you were done for at that point?
Well,
you seem to remain calm, at least in the story.
Right. Well, at the beginning of it, I was annoyed, right? So you are building up so much energy just from hiking that you're actually warm. So you fall in the water and you're annoyed and you want to get out of there. And you don't quite, or I didn't quite realize that I would start to go numb so quickly. Mm. And when I did, I think my first thought was, okay, now I'm about to lose some limbs.
But you didn't.
Well, I was lucky. I think because I had built some of that body heat from the walk, it gave me a couple of extra seconds in the water where I would be okay. What ended up happening was the guys that I was on the trek with threw me a rope, and I literally wound it around my wrist several times while I was floating in the water. And all these guys literally pulled me out like a big wet fish onto the side of the ice.
And then get your clothes off, get you dried off, and get you in some dry, clean clothes.
Well, I never thought I would get naked in the middle of a big snowy ice river, but that's what I was doing.
We talk about the North Pole, the South Pole, the Himalayas, because of all the snow and ice, is often referred to as the Third Pole because it's a source of water for billions of people in India and China. What about the people of Zanskar themselves? How's their life going to change if they can't cross this river into India?
So that would mean that their winter passage out of Zanskar is cut off from them. And a lot of people use that as their way into town to visit relatives, or into the major city to visit relatives, to stock up on supplies. But you still have to cross that frozen river. That won't be possible if the river melts. The Indian army is trying to build a road basically through Zanskar to the Chinese border. Mm. They had made, I think, a half a kilometer of progress, and people were dying on trying to build this road. They've made more progress, but there's still more to go. So in a way, kind of, Zanskar is facing a sort of a double whammy. On the one hand, they might be losing their frozen river out. On the other hand, they might be getting a road which will connect them to the major city and be about a five-hour drive.
Freelance reporter Daniel Grushkin wrote The Melting Ice Road of Zanskar. It appears on the blog Roads and Kingdoms. Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.